As I mentioned at the start, Harry and I are both preaching today, not at the same time, well, at the same time, but, you know, we're taking turns. I'm calling it co-preaching, and Harriet, of course, has done this before, but at the youth service. And I'd just like to ask Harriet, can you just tell us, so everyone knows, tell us what you're up to at the moment, you know, what you're looking forward to, what you're studying, that kind of thing.
So I'm in year 13 at the moment, and I'm studying at Abbey Grange and C of E Academy. I'm in the sixth form. I'm a senior prefect, and I want to go to university and study sociology. I'm studying sociology, psychology, and chemistry, which are very odd subjects to do altogether, but I enjoy it, so, yeah.
And, Harriet, what do you enjoy doing in your spare time, when you're not?
So I do horse riding, and I used to volunteer, and now I work there on Saturdays. Yeah, pretty much.
Final question, how long have you been involved in church here?
All my life.
All your life. So some of you will have seen Harriet grow up, and I think Harriet has a real gift for preaching, so I thought, great, let's get, you know, want to do it with, get Harriet involved, which is fantastic. And really, it's partly just to say that we all have gifts that we're all called to use. And I just thought, rather than just saying that, I wanted to sort of model that and demonstrate that whoever we are in this church, we want people to use their gifts. Whatever age we are, whether we're 5 or 95, wherever we're from, whatever our background is and so on. So that's what we're looking at today. And today we had that focus, didn't we, on in the epistle reading, the first reading that we had that Pauline brought us about generosity. Really interesting question for you. What does it mean to be generous? Well, actually, it means different things, doesn't it? It's partly about how we, mainly about our attitude towards the world around us. Are we generous towards other people? Do we have an attitude of grace when we look at people? Do we give people the benefit of the doubt? That's generosity. I wonder how we spend our time. Are we generous in the way that we spend our time in how we give our time away, particularly things we struggle with? Are we generous with our abilities and our gifts? How do we actually use the gifts that God's given us? And of course, there's also, are we generous towards charity and other ways as well? And so we're going to look at that theme today. On the screen, there's a picture of Corinth. And Corinth was where Paul was writing to. He'd been in Corinth, and he'd built a church up, and then he'd moved on. And this is probably the third letter he wrote. It's called 2 Corinthians, but it's the third letter because we lost the middle one. And so he writes this letter to them. And what he's doing in there is he's not actually asking about money for himself or his church or his own, what he leads. He's actually asking for money for a different church, a poor church. Because the church had started in Jerusalem and it had grown there and then had been sent out to places like Corinth. Corinth was quite a wealthy city. It is still between, as you can see, between Athens and Sparta, two ancient cities, and it was a trade route. There was loads of people from different nationalities there, and the church was quite, because of that, the church was relatively well off. Whereas the church in Jerusalem, where it had originated, was from a place that was under Roman occupation. The Christians there were poor. And so Paul is saying, can you, the new church in Corinth, support the old church in Jerusalem? And it's this picture of sort of support that goes on. Do you know, it's still going on today. If you look at the world Anglican church, what you find is that in parts of the world, some parts of the world that are newer, like the US, for example, the US, the Anglican church in the US is pretty wealthy. Pretty wealthy. And actually, it's the US Anglican church that supports some work going on in poorer parts of the world. So they actually are quite financially generous to, do you know what I mean? That's kind of how it works. We could say the same about our system. But there's this principle there of generosity, of how Paul is actually calling us to live our lives. Not just in giving, but actually more broadly. And I'm going to hand over now to Harriet.
So Paul says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. He's basically saying that we have to be generous in what we do or what we give. And in order to be spiritually filled, we have to sort of do something to be closer to God. He's saying to the church in Corinth that whether that be time or money, whatever they give, they will reap rewards. They will get rewards here on heaven and in earth. Now he calls us to be cheerful givers. And that's actually taken from Proverbs. And now in this chapter in Proverbs, it's basically all based on riches and poverty. And he's saying to stop hanging on to silver and gold, so materialistic items like iPhones and the newest shoes and whatever. But instead to be generous in what we have and what we give. And in the same word, Proverb uses it to describe God as a cheerful giver. He says that if we are generous in our giving, God will be generous back. So now, like I mentioned earlier, I've been doing horse riding and have been for 8 years. And my, it has been hard. I have fallen off so many times. I've cried. I've given up. But I started volunteering when I was 14, and I've been doing it up until sort of September last year. And through that, I've seen Riding for the Disabled Kids. I've seen kids who have, from nowhere, basically grow up and develop and become happy and enjoy life. And it's been hard because every single Sunday afternoon after church, we'd go, and I'd go and volunteer for hours in the freezing cold rain, and it'd be very, very cold and not very fun, but it's taught me to be a better person. And through sort of doing all my volunteering and being generous with my time, it meant that when I applied to university a few weeks ago, I got 3 offers back in less than 24 hours and 4 offers back in 2 days. Wow. And so last September, because of my volunteering as well, I got offered a job there because I gave so much time. So now what I'm saying is that Paul isn't saying to give with monetary value, but instead to give with what little you have. Like in the reading from Luke we heard earlier, the poor widow put in more than the others. She gave from her poverty. She gave all that she had. And now despite her situation, so God calls us to be relative in what we give, in whatever way that can be.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And so, he goes on there in verses 9 to 11. There is this theme that when God supplies, he also blesses. That's sort of a bit of a theme within this letter. And it's blessing in the broadest sense, that sense of living a rich life, not necessarily financially, but a rich in terms of God's blessing in our lives in different ways, a meaningful life. He quotes again another psalm. And in the psalm that he quotes, 129, there's this verse in verse 5. Says, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. So Paul really is more focusing on those issues of justice and saying, if you have quite a lot, sharing it with those who don't have a lot is actually part of your calling as a Christian. That's the message that he has, particularly in that psalm. And yet he goes on to take it in an interesting direction, because what he says is, if God is the generous provider and you are generous back, then there is a sense in which God is pleased, and then we'll bless you. So God is overall the provider, gives everything. We receive from that, perhaps through our work or whatever, but then when we give back, God blesses us. That's the picture that he has in this reading. It's a really interesting point for us in this, the world that we live in, because the world that we live in is really focused on consumption, what you consume. We judge people by the cars they drive, the house they live in, the clothes they wear, and so on. That's how we sort of often do things. But this is sort of being flipped around, and Paul is saying, you know what, when we are generous and we give from a giving heart and we share, that God blesses. There's something here about having a fairly simple lifestyle that's quite challenging, that we have what we need, but we're prepared to share what we don't have. One of the real privileges of my life is that I mix with people at every level of sort of society. From the very wealthy, sometimes I meet people who are very wealthy, multi-millionaires, right down to people that come to my door, and you know about, I've told you about Douglas. Well, in Douglas' case, he brings me food that some nuns give him and then says, can you give me some money? It's a bit of an unusual arrangement, but I'm effectively receiving charity from the Roman Catholic Church. But, you know, that's okay. But he does, he sort of comes about once a month. And Douglas, he's financially quite poor, but he's also poor socially. He has, as far as I know, he has virtually no social contact. So coming for money is actually also about coming for a cup of tea and coming to spend some time in the house. And there's a lot of people like that out there who don't have a lot. What I find really interesting is that the mega, mega rich, often they're not that happy. So they work and work and work and they make lots of money and whatever. Often they're not actually that happy. Strange, isn't it? Given that it's something that we all aspire to so much. And on the other hand, there's people that I've known but also read about who could be rich, could be wealthy, but make decisions to in their life that mean that their focus is on something else. And the one person that I often think of is Dr. Paul Brand, who is a really pioneering hand surgeon, orthopedic surgeon, and he pioneered hand surgery. So if you look at, you know, in textbooks, you'll see some of his procedures. But he learned that at Vellore Hospital in India, working with leprosy patients. who, you know, were the absolute outcasts. They were the people that no one would even go near, let alone, you know, have a friendship with. They were outside the village, and he worked with people with leprosy. And what's really interesting about this guy, I mean, he was a genius. He was an absolute pioneer and a genius. He decided to go and work doing that in India. And what everyone said who met him was, he was just the happiest, most content person you could imagine. It seems as though there's something about being in a position where we could have a lot, but we're generous, that in our life, not just financially, but just with our life, that it seems as though it's just it is the pathway to true riches. From the experience that I've observed, I knew a missionary in Bangladesh, a woman called Chris Pringer. She was a doctor. She's worked there for about 25 years. But again, spending time with that person is, you know, she's full of life, full of excitement, full of what joie de vivre. I don't know. She's full of, and I think that that's the principle here. When he talks about riches, he's talking about that kind of riches, that God fills us with something very special. And then he goes on to talk about how when we do that, our lives overflow. Now, this is obviously about one church to another church, and the application, you could think about it just being about, say, giving to the church with your time or finances and so on, but what Paul says is actually it's much, much more than that. He says, when we're generous as a church to each other, what happens is it flows to the community around us. It flows to the community around us. And so he says it's like overflowing with love to those outside. So here I have my cup of water, and I have my jug. And he says, when we give to God of our time and our talents, what happens is it ends up overflowing in such a way that it's not just the church that is blessed, but the whole community. And do you know what? As the church, we are not really about building up just the church. That's not the idea. The idea is that we're actually blessing the community and building the kingdom. I know there's some of you, even here today, who don't have lots of time to do stuff in church. That is okay with me. Because I know that you're doing stuff out there in the world, overflowing with love for the world around us. That is the picture that Paul presents of giving. It's an overflowing kind of giving. It's not restricted. It's not even for his church, whatever that is. It's for a completely different part of the country. You see what I mean? Do you see how it works? And so we're called to have that sense of overflowing giving in the world we're in. I'm going to hand back now to Harriet. Thank you.
So as a church, we have lots of different charities locally and abroad. So we've helped with Mission Partners, Samaritan's Purse, which we all gave our shoeboxes in a couple of weeks ago, Food Bank, and many more. But not only that, we give back to our local community with our new youth group, which is starting on Tuesday, which is very exciting and hopefully goes quite well. We've got Barn Babies, Sunday School, and other events like Messy Church. But these all require a team to supply a service we also greatly benefit from as a community. They bring us together, they unite us, and they make us make a change locally or globally. It allows us to sort of work together as a community and provide something for everyone.
And there's this lovely part at the end of this reading where he says, and you know what? The Church of Jerusalem is going to pray for you. The Church of Jerusalem is going to pray for this church in Corinth. And what he's saying there is that it is not just one way. That as we live our lives as a church that is sort of generous and outward looking, that actually the people on the receiving end are blessing us back, and that somehow in a very wonderful way, it just sort of works together. Thanks, Harry.
So what can we do about it? So we can use the gifts that God has given us. God has given us all very unique gifts different from each other. So some of us are like hands, some are arms, some are legs, and together we all work as a body. And we can all work together to provide something amazing, but we've got to do that. To be part of St. Wilfrid's, we have to use the gifts that God's given us, whether that be a leadership role, like standing up at the front like I am. I never thought when I was 7 years old that I'd be sitting here doing this today, but I'm here. It can be helping with children's work. It can be helping and supporting other people. So if people are doing home groups, that you look after the children. It can be anything, small or big. You just have to be bold and not shy away from it, which leads me to my second point, which is don't be scared to step forward and be part of a team. Everyone's in the same boat. Everyone's been there. Will you step out into the light of God, or will you just sort of stay in the shadows? Will you do and use what God has given you and work with others to provide a service, or Will you give financially and be generous in that kind of way, in giving to the church? Like, as a church, are we ready to cross that bridge into discipleship and help others? Which leads me on to my final point, which is watch what happens when generosity opens doors for ourselves and others. As soon as we begin to give generously as a church and open our hearts to the world around us, you'll notice that God works in mysterious ways, and you'll be able to see him work in our society. You'll see him be able to change people's lives. You'll begin to find doors opening, opportunities arising, because God gives more than we give to him. So therefore, be generous. Be the cheerful givers that he wants us to be. And you'll find that your life and that those around you will benefit greatly from it.
That's great, Harry. That's a fantastic message at the end. You know what? We're all called just to look at our own lives and say, what can we give? That little gospel reading is so important that really the widow, in worldly terms, didn't give much, but she gave what she could. That acorn was planted by that shepherd. He gave what he could. And we just are all a different shape, and God has made us differently. But we're all called to be involved in that way and to be people who are kingdom builders. That is, people who are seeking to build God's kingdom.